All right, we're continuing on church community and prayer intercession is what we're talking about today, which I think is extremely important in the church. I think it's important for many reasons, which I'm going to go through and list, but the biggest thing I like about intercession is it creates family. Because it builds relationships, because we're all called, as I'll talk about in a bit, to be intercessors. I know for a long time I thought that those who are called to be intercessors are this special group of strange people, okay? But then I figured out that I'm supposed to be in that group of strange people and supposed to be praying for my brothers and sisters and praying for those who don't know the Lord. So we're in Acts 2:42. New Living Translation, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So practically, how can we pray? We can pray silently according to 1 Samuel 1. We can pray out loud according to Acts 4. We can pray privately, according to Matthew 6. We can pray together, according to Matthew 18. We can pray, according to 2 Kings 4, as we just walk along. We can pray in the early morning, according to Psalm 5. We can pray at noon, according to Psalm 55. Or we can pray late at night, according to Psalm 119. We can pray while lifting our hands up, according to 1 Timothy. Or we can pray while kneeling, according to Ephesians 3. The point is that we can pray anywhere and everywhere, no matter where we are, no matter what posture we might be in, at any time, by ourselves, with other people, both quietly and loudly. There is no way that you can put together that we can't use some of that time to pray. I remember when I used to be on a softball team up in Columbia, and the whole purpose was to spread the gospel. Unfortunately, we had some people who knew how to play softball. One of the guys' name was Gator, another nickname was Crocodile. So you can imagine what those people were like. You know, they just kind of dragged the bat up to the plate and swing with one hand and hit the ball over the fence, you know. But the purpose was to spread the gospel. And we were often, I'd say at least 6, 7, 8, 9 times in the paper, affectionately called the God Squad. Talk about how we wouldn't miss church. Talk about how we lift up the name of the Lord. And it would have pictures because we always started every game surrounding the pitcher's mound, huddled together in prayer before every game. That's what we did. And we prayed for the team that they wouldn't get hurt. And that's one of the things I like about Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for and I don't mean to offend you all back there, but the Kansas City Chiefs, that every before every game, he goes to the end zone and prays for the other team that nobody's hurt. And other people have been joining them. But we're to pray. Timothy Keller says this, and I think this is an absolutely brilliant statement. The basic purpose of prayer is to not bend God's will to mine, but it's to mold my will into his. It's our heart to touch his heart, to be like that download of information from him to us, to where we become more and more like Christ. Our will being molded into his will. Last week, as we started this little series on prayer, we talked about supplication. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. And that word supplication is really a cool word. When you look at it in the Greek, you look at it some of the Greek lexicons, it's talking about praying for a particular benefit for oneself. And in one place it said with an urgency, and in another place it actually said begging is acceptable. If you need something from God, it's okay. See, it's okay to pray for what we need because the God we serve encourages us to do that. He wants our wills to be bent to His will. He wants to bless us. He's the God who pours out grace. He's the God who pours out mercy. He's the God who pours out great gifts. That's what He wants to do. You know, I think about those people in Iran and I go, how do they do it? I mean, they can't have jobs. They can't have bank accounts. They can't have, and yet God provides. You know, I've heard stories of some of the churches in China where to be a Christian means to go to prison. And they're really doing some things nowadays where they're really locking down on them. And I've heard stories from some of the people I know that have gone back into the back country, you know, of women whose husbands were in prison, how every day food would show up at their doorsteps. Or if food didn't, and there was enough money to buy food for the day. At the end of the day, their cupboard was empty. But when they got up and opened the door in the morning, there was food. Was it people? Was it the Holy Spirit just putting food there? See, God always takes care of us, but it's okay. I imagine she was crying out that God would take care of them. I imagine these Christians in Iran, which is the fastest growing church in the world. I mean, think about it. What do you hear about Iran today? How many of you heard in the news it's the fastest growing church in the world? Okay, what news are you listening to? You're not listening to mainstream media or any of those. You're listening to CNN. I mean, not CNN, but was it CBN?
I saw it on Fox.
Okay, saw it on Fox? Okay. But that's the God who we are. He takes care of us. So this week we're going to talk about what I think is one of the most important prayers, is intercession. Father, I just pray that you would be with us as we get into intercession. Lord, that you would teach us what you want us to know, that you would change our hearts. Because intercession is a prayer that is outside of us, that lays ourselves aside and is directed towards others. So Lord, just bless what I say and ask that anything I say that is not of you would fall on deaf ears, but that which is of you would pierce our hearts. And the church said, amen. Amen. Intercession. It's something that Jesus does. Romans 8:34. And this verse should excite everyone. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and this part should be exciting to you, who indeed is interceding for us, for those in Christ. I have, through my life, sat there and thought about, at that very moment, Jesus is interceding for me. Wow. It brings tears to my eyes. It causes great joy to overwhelm me. But not only Jesus, but the Holy Spirit does in Romans 8:26-27. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And how does He do it? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And it goes on in verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows what it is, the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So you got Jesus praying for us. You got Holy Spirit praying for us. Not in too bad a shape. And you think about it and you look through it, you know, it's what Abraham did in Genesis 18. To the point that he was trying to negotiate with God. Remember Sodom? He's going, no, if there's 50 righteous men, well, how about 45? How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? But all there was Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And you know the rest of the story. How about Exodus 32, when Moses is up on the mountain and Israel makes a golden calf? What did God want to do? You remember? He wanted to wipe them all out. and start over with Moses. And what did Moses do? He said, no, Lord. And he cried out. And God didn't kill them all. How about Nehemiah, Nehemiah 1, when he understood that Israel had greatly sinned and in effect had become like a future Christ in the fact that he took on those sins and he began to pray prayers of repentance for the sins of Israel and for his sins and asking the Lord to forgive and have mercy and to raise up again once the nation of Israel. And what came out of it? How about the early church? Just go all the way through the books of Acts. Go into Ephesians, Timothy, Titus, blah, 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 all of them. The church over and over and over and over is seeking God for wisdom, for vision, for his power, for protection of themselves, protection of others, for the leadership that God had established. So if you think that we're part of, I'm laughing because Monty Schinkel, who pastors Concord Baptist, had a little thing on the radio, and he was talking about he doesn't understand why parents take kids out of the sanctuary when they start giggling or whatever. And he says, I love it. He says, they're children of the living God. So it's just wonderful. It's not a distraction. It's just part of being family. But if you think that we have an out, we don't. Because 1 Timothy 2:1, what's it say? New Living Translation. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Is that intercession? Ask God to help them and intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. So what is intercession? The Strong's word is intuncano. It simply means a petition on behalf of others. The Oneida Greek lexicon says to speak to God on behalf of someone else. It's going before God, you individually going before God and pleading on behalf of someone else. It's lifting up Ross that the Lyme's disease would be no longer there. It's praying for Janita, for Linda, for my wife, that the migraines are gone. It's praying for people like Hope whose husbands need to get saved. See, that's what we're called to do. We should be doing that daily, throughout the day. When you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning or when you're driving down the road, it's seeking God's ear and presence on behalf of others. It requires us to put ourselves aside. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. And to hold up others. And I like this. This is what intercession really is. It's love on its knees in prayer for others. That's what intercession is. See, we need to understand something that I think that we forget. And if we forget, it makes it a little bit more difficult for us to minister in the area of intercession. Each person in this room is a priest. You're a priest of God. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2:9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. The ESV says royal priesthood, which means a group of priests. It's a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. See, if we are a believer, we are a priest. We have been called out of darkness into a wonderful light, and we have been charged to help do that. I guarantee every revival, every move of God is preceded by people praying in it. That's how God uses us. And I love that word priests because the word Strong's part of the definition is referring to all Christians. So if you are a Christian, you are a priest. If you are a priest, you're called to intercede, to carry out the workload of the priesthood. That's what the Levites did. What did they do in Deuteronomy 10? They went before the Lord to minister unto him and to bless his name. And in Deuteronomy 33, they went before the Lord for others. As New Testament believers, it is our high, and I have the word H-I-G-H in capital letters, it is our high calling to seek God and to bring others before God, which we can do through intercessory prayer. It's my firm belief that if we become intercessors, a lot of our problems will go away. Now listen to me, did you hear that? If I ask each person in this room and to repeat that, could you repeat it? If we go before God for others, we'll have less problems. I believe that. I'm not saying you won't have any problems. Andrew Murray says this, in his Christ in the School of Prayer, an excellent book on prayer. God needs priests who can draw close to him, live in his presence, and by their intercession draw down the blessings of his grace on others. And the world needs priests who will bear the burden of the perishing ones and intercede on their behalf. We're all called to be those priests. As stated earlier, Christ is the great intercessor. He's the one who we should imitate, that we should strive to be like, and to do as he did. Like he did in Luke 22:32. I have prayed, and that word prayed means pleaded, for you that your faith may not fail. We should also pray for people that their faith should not fail. In John 17:15, remember, is the one I call the Lord's Prayer, says Jesus prays, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. Likewise, we should be praying for people, praying for the people in Iran, praying for people in this country, that we would be kept safe from the evil one. John 17:17, Jesus prays, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. We should also be people that praise that our brothers and sisters grow in holiness and truth. John 17:21, Jesus prays, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. We should also pray that we all walk in unity with each other. Jesus prayed in numerous places for people to be healed. Likewise, we should be praying for our brothers and sisters to be healed. A person doesn't, the only way, it is not true that the only way a person can be healed is they go to church and they come down for an altar and people lay hands on them, anoint them at all. I believe God is going to bring testimonies because somebody was praying for somebody at 2:00 in the morning. God woke that somebody up and they were healed. That's the power of intercessory prayer. See, Jesus often went to a remote place, and in those remote places would pray for us. The people of the day pray for us. Likewise, we should pray for our brothers and sisters in our private place. Intercession is important, and Jesus often demonstrated the value of it when communing with God on our behalf. And as priests, we have the opportunity to commune with God on behalf of others. That is an amazing privilege. I mean, that is an amazing privilege. That God trusts us to walk in his footsteps, to intercede for others. It's a privilege that God has blessed us with, one that I personally don't think we should take lightly. I'll be honest, I hope people are interceding for me. I need it. And I hope that you're blessed when other people are interceding for you. I tell you what, at 1:00 or 3:00 or 5:00 in the morning, during the night, when you're trying to fall back to sleep, it's a whole lot nicer to pray for people than it is to spiral down, thinking about what was me in this area, what was me in that area. So who are the intercessors? I really kind of define that, but here's the scripture, James 5:16. And therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Believers, then you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. See, there's great power in intercession. People will be healed in intercession, like we were talking about a few moments ago. So are all intercessors the same? No, I tend to believe that there's kind of levels. I believe that there are people who are called to the ministry of intercession, who God has just really called them to a life of prayer. We have a group of intercessors here. If you don't think you're on that group and you'd like to be, just let me know and I'll put you on. And I'll send out emails from time to time, things we just need to pray for. An example is Reese Howells. He was a Welsh coal miner who was really involved in the movement of God over there. It really wasn't unusual for him to pray all day long and many times all night long, where in his words, he would fight it out with the Lord. Or John Knox, who used to pray all the time, Lord, give me Scotland or kill me. Or John Hyde, whose body bore the marks of his life of prayer. And I believe that when he passed away, somehow or another, they did an autopsy, and his heart had actually moved in position from his prayers. Andrew Murray, in another book, The Secret of Intercession, another great book on prayer. Intercession is the very holiest exercise of our boldness as God's children. It is the highest privilege and enjoyment connected to our communion with God. It is the power of being used by God as instruments for his great work of making men his habitation and showing forth his glory. Now, you might want to ask, why does God want to use fallible people? But he does. To pray. To pray for one another. Jesus did it simply because of love. And that's why we do it. Because the love of God flows into us for those other people. It's available to us. And again, we're to model ourselves after Jesus. We're to be partnered with Jesus by yielding ourselves to him, by being people and walking in the call on our lives to do what he has called us to do, which requires us, again, to get out of ourselves. But let me tell you, when you're in the midst of intercession, it's pretty powerful. There's a time with the Lord there that is just amazing. It's an amazing walk of love. And you cannot outgive God, I guarantee you. See, intercession really started out in the center of God's redemptive plan. You know, when God made Adam, his plan at that point was for all people, all of us to be his people. But you know the story, came the fall, but plan A never changed. God still wants all of us to be his people. Now, free will gets in the way. But I guarantee you, intercessory prayer, I think, is more powerful than free will. And so he invoked this redemptive plan to restore men and women to the place from where they had fallen. But the plan centered upon Jesus. But remember, Jesus is the great intercessor who is always praying. Whom we copy. We have a very simple task. Just pray that all people get saved. Pray that all people get healed. Pray that all people are set free, that all people are the bondages in their lives are go away, are gone. And not just those we know. I mean, how many people here know people in Iran? but we can still pray for them. I mean, I don't see a person in this room and it has it worse than them. Let me ask you a question. Who here, besides me, was prayed into the kingdom by somebody? I'm the only one? No, there's two or three of us. People prayed for us. Who here has prayed for somebody to come into the kingdom? I prayed for my family for years and years and years, and now they're all in the kingdom. My father and my mother was pretty close to their deathbed. But my niece and nephews and great niece and great, you know, and sister are all serving the Lord. Now, I'm not rubbing my back. I'm just saying there's power there. That's why we're praying for some of the people here that have mates and have family and friends that don't know the Lord. And if you want somebody to stand with you, then let me know and we'll get it out to the intercessors. I believe this with all my heart, church, that as we intercede, we will hear from God. And we will go where he wants us to go. See, how many people here understand that they can't fix anybody else? I've learned it the hard way. But you want to be involved in their fixing? Pray for them. Pray for them. And as you do, there's a fairly good chance God will say, I want you to go stand with that person. I want you to go share this with that person. I want you to go give that person a hug. See, because we're the we are's. We are the salt. We are the light. We are the city set on the hill. We're his conduit. We are Jesus with skin on. Do you realize when you go out into the world amongst people that don't know the Lord, that you are Jesus representation? Every Tuesday when I meet with the group of people I do, I'm the representation of Jesus. It's frightening. But we are the we are's. See, there's many things we can pray for and intercede. Luke 10:12 says that the harvest is great, but the workers are few. We can pray for laborers to go into to gather the harvest, for individuals, for blessing, for healing, for deliverance, for obedience to Christ, for repentance, for release into their calling, whatever. For spiritual leaders, the five, the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pray for wisdom for them, for discernment, for anointing, hearing God's voice, recognizing gifting in others, help to walk out their calling, to be all that Christ is to be, to go into the territories and areas that God wants them to walk into, especially for wisdom. See, Paul constantly asked for prayer, and he constantly commended people for praying for him. How about for our government? Do you think our government needs prayer right now? This is not a political statement. Federal, state, local. How about foreign countries? How about praying for our president? How about praying for our vice president or the people in Congress? Oh, I don't pray for people in that party. Well, you should. And not that they become like the other party, because the other party needs prayer too. How about our governor? He's a Christian. You think he needs prayer? Yes. Lieutenant Governor Mike Keogh is a great guy. I know him. Pray for him. Legislature, mayor, councilman, all that to feel. We're blessed in this community with our mayor. Carrie Turgeon is a great mayor, and she's a great woman. She loves the Lord. So we go through all of this. Are there fruits of intercession? Yes. What were the results of the disciples when they continued in prayer in the upper room? They received the promise are the gift of the Father, as it says in Acts 1:4. And that gift is outlined in Acts 1:8 when it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you pray long enough, you may be sent someplace. But that's okay. But that, yes, that promise is still available today if we want it. You know, pray for Carolyn's husband. You want some prayers for your husband?
Yes.
Sure. He's in a nursing home. He's dealing with Alzheimer's. Is that the correct diagnosis? Or
dementia.
Okay, I'm sorry. Dementia. Yeah, he needs prayers. Yes, she needs prayers. It's all about helping us to be the church that God desires us to be as we pray and intercede. If the worship team wants to come back up. See, we want to be a church. Listen to this. We want to be a church that walks in one accord, in unity. We want to be a church that receives the Holy Spirit's power. We want to be a church that's going out. We want to be a church where prayer is ongoing, where the ministry of the church is directed by and filled with the Holy Spirit, where the members are living witnesses, showing that he is a living Christ that has a message of salvation for every person that will respond. We want to be that church that Jesus came to earth for. We want to be that church that Jesus was persecuted and mocked and made fun of for. We want to be that church that Jesus died for, the church that Jesus resurrected for, the church that Jesus intercedes for. You know what that church is? A vivid, live, dynamic, powerful church. And I make you this promise. He's going to have that church. It's our choice whether we want to be part of it or not, but he's going to have that church. That will is the church that God is lifting up today. That victorious bride, that bride without a spot or a wrinkle. It's the church that all will descend upon. It's the church that we're called to be part of, each and every one of us. It's a church that spends its time praying for others as well as ourselves. It's a praying church where his power is manifested through the presence of the Holy Spirit in people. It's a church that the fruit is so visible and so palatable that it is used and enjoyed by everyone. Intercessory prayer is important. It's so important. But it requires us to be selfless and not selfish, because it's not about ourselves.